Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. In the seemingly endless political races in Wisconsin, none may seem more endless than the 32nd State Senate district race in the La Crosse area. The recall of former State Senator Dan Capanke helped start the slew of recall races in Wisconsin last summer. Now, the winner of that race, Democratic State Senator Jennifer Schilling, faces re-election after a little more than a year. Schilling represented La Crosse's 95th Assembly District for 10 years before being elected in the Senate recall. Her challenger is Republican Bill Feehan of La Crosse, a businessman who served one term on the La Crosse County Board and has been active in recent years in the La Crosse County Republican Party. The winner of the November 6th election will represent all of La Crosse, Vernon and Crawford counties, and a portion of Monroe County for the next 4 years. Senator Schilling and Mr. Feehan, thank you for joining us today.
Nice to be here, Maureen.
Good afternoon.
You'll each have 2 minutes to answer the questions that I'll ask you, and then at the end we'll have time for a rebuttal. We flipped a coin. Mr. Feehan won, and he would like Senator Schilling to go first. So, Jennifer, I'm wondering if you can just start out by telling us a bit about yourself.
Sure. Well, I've served in the legislature for 10 years before being elected to the state Senate. I'm a proud alum of this institution, UW-La Crosse, and continue to live here in La Crosse with my husband and our two sons, who are 7 and soon to be 4. And I think as we continue to struggle with the effects of the worst economic recession since the Great Depression, job training, worker readiness, investing in our small businesses, those are key components that we are facing. That as I go door to door in our community, people, they want us to get along and they want us to be problem solvers. And we need to make sure that we are investing in our education, in our schools, be it technical schools, in our university system. We need to make sure that workers and worker training and job creation go hand in hand, that we need to be committed to both of those. But it also is talking to seniors who are anxious about health care and about long-term care and affordability of their prescription drugs. And I've been a strong advocate and proponent of Badger Care, family care, and senior care here in Wisconsin, so that families, seniors, the disabled will have access to health care and health insurance here in this state, and making sure that every child has access to preventative measures and immunizations in this state. So it's getting the economy back on track, turning the economic corner. It's investing in our schools and education, and making excellent health care affordable and accessible for citizens in Wisconsin.
And Bill Feehan, would you like to introduce yourself?
Thank you. Yes, my wife and I are business owners in the community. My wife is Sue Colvey Feehan, so we own Sue Colvey Salon and Day Spa. We also own the Salon Professional Academy, which is a cosmetology school in Onalaska. And for the last 18 years, I worked as a manufacturer's representative in the food industry. More recently, I'd served on the La Crosse County Board and the La Crosse County Board of Health. And as I've been out traveling the district and talking to people, people are very concerned about the economy and jobs. And almost everybody that you talk to either doesn't have a job or someone close to them doesn't have a job. And people are feeling a lot of pain out there. I've talked to people who have been forced to liquidate their retirement accounts. Other people have had their homes foreclosed on. So I believe that the most important thing right now is to pursue policies that are going to help grow the state economy, put people back to work. When we do that, we lift people off of the government safety net and make them taxpayers. That's how we're going to avoid the kind of budget turmoil that's caused so many problems in our state over the last couple of years. I'm also hearing that people are looking for someone who's willing to go to Madison and get along. And I think my experience in our county government demonstrates that I'm somebody who, even though in a distinct minority, I was always respectful of the other supervisors. And, you know, I think that it starts by showing respect for people with whom you disagree and having a dialogue. So that's why I'm running.
The economy, as both of you said, is in the forefront of everyone's mind this election. If you're elected or reelected to office on November 6th, what would you propose in the state Senate that would strengthen the area's economy? Bill Feehan, you're first.
Well, one of the very first things that we can do is we can pass a change to the state's mining permitting process. And the current permitting process amounts to a moratorium on mining in Wisconsin. And this is an industry that can create thousands of high-paying jobs the economic development study that was done showed it would create almost 9,000 jobs. The jobs in the mine, of which there were 1,400, were union jobs with the laborers union and the operating engineers union that would have paid on average $83,000 a year in wages and benefits. And there's a ripple effect that goes through the whole state. Wausau Homes had a contract to build $250 million in housing. And in this area, companies like Torrance Casting, River Steel in West Salem, Dillman Enterprises and Prairie du Chien manufacture parts for the mining equipment industry. So these are exactly the types of high-paying jobs that we need to create. And all that we're trying to change with the current permitting process is to eliminate the lawsuit that is part of the current permitting process. Let the Environmental Protection Agency and the state DNR do their work and either grant a permit or not grant a permit. But at present, there's not enough clarity for companies that are interested, and Gohebic Taconite left after already investing $13 million in the process. So that would be one of the first things that I would support to try and spur industry in our state.
And Senator Jennifer Schilling, how would you help strengthen the economy?
Well, the jobs plan that we have seen over the last 2 years, as it's been implemented, is not working. That Wisconsin is lagging behind our neighbors in job creation. Since Governor Walker took office, our state has added a meager 27,000 jobs. We are way off pace for that 250,000 jobs that the governor had talked about when first elected. We need to look. I think our job creation efforts really should focus on three things. It's immediacy. It is demonstrated effectiveness and performance-based results. And so we need to promote efforts that will put people back to work immediately. The demonstrated effectiveness is we need to build upon proven programs that have already worked. And the performance-based results is the incentives need to be tied to job creation. So we need to look at worker training is the first thing I talk about, that we have a skills gap in this state that we need to narrow. And by investing in our technical colleges who are seeing a pipeline of people who are unemployed or underemployed coming back to be retrained, we are seeing that $70 million cut to our technical colleges in the last budget, that they are having waiting lists for some of these programs in healthcare, in welding, in other manufacturing positions. We need to get people in and out the door into back into the workforce. We need to look at expanding capital for small businesses, that when I talk to businesses, they are looking for that seed money to help them grow their businesses and looking at that access to capital. I also talk about the Wisconsin Jobs Act, that Wisconsin companies should have the first shot at state contracts here in the state so that we are creating jobs here at home, not overseas in China or India, and that we need to better align those some of the skills that are being trained with what employers are looking for, because on the state's Department of Workforce Development job website, there is an opening for 44,000 jobs out there. So employers want to hire, they need to hire, but they can't find that right employee with the training and the education they need. So that we need to do a better job of aligning some of those programs and that training that is necessary to get today's students out into the workforce to be tomorrow's workers.
And both of you touched on this next question a bit in your first answers. But we hear that job creation is a top priority in almost every single election right now. As state senator, how would you help improve the job market in Southwest Wisconsin? What industries would you hope to target? Senator Schilling.
Well, I mean, I think it goes back to education, that we need to, in a downturn of economy, we need to be investing in our people, and that is strong schools at the K-12 level. It is the technical schools. It's the university system. Here in western Wisconsin, we are kind of that hub, that strong heartbeat for the local foods movement. And as western Wisconsin in the Senate district is made up of a lot of rural parts of the state, a lot of small farmers, organic farmers, that local food movement is the fastest growing economy that we are seeing here in western Wisconsin. And the farm-to-school program is a successful one in counties such as La Crosse, in Vernon, in Crawford, that the farm-to-school folks are partnering with those local farmers to identify and strengthen that relationship between local foods and that food in our plate, so that those farmers have a new market, be it in schools, hospitals, and businesses, for their locally grown foods. And so that's one component that I think is very important. It is also looking at our natural resources and that ecotourism that we have here in western Wisconsin, and if it's with the Kickapoo Reserve management, the Kickapoo Reserve, we see I was out trout fishing and fly fishing with a guide that has a business in Viroqua. And so tying western Wisconsin, that we need to have a clean environment here for western Wisconsin, which is also beneficial for the businesses and the small business owners that that live and work here. So as I talk with the Secretary of Tourism, the Secretary of DNR, tying together that a healthy environment is a healthy business environment here in western Wisconsin. So I think those are some of the areas that we could look at, but it just goes back to investing in people, getting them the education that they need so that they can go out and find those opportunities for them, and helping some of these small business and entrepreneurs who need that venture capital, that seed capital, seed money to help them be successful to grow their businesses.
And Bill Feehan, job creation in southwest Wisconsin.
Well, I spoke previously about the opportunities to do iron mining in northern Wisconsin and about that ripple effect. And that, of course, reaches right into our area with the companies that I mentioned and probably many more that I haven't met with. One of the primary industries in our state is agriculture. It is the largest industry. And I recently met with the board of directors at Organic Valley. And they talked about how they have built a business model where $500 million of commodity food products are sold at a $700 million price. And the added value of those products is that they're organically produced. And so they're responding to consumers' desire for healthier foods. And the importance of it is that the fact that they can get the price that they're getting helps local family farmers stay on their farms. Another exciting new opportunity is with the Fifth Season Co-op in Viroqua, where small growers can bring their produce. It's put on a truck with Reinhardt, brought back to La Crosse, and put into distribution in local markets. So we're encouraging that money to stay in the local economy. Previously, those products, and I worked in this industry for the last 18 years, were usually brought in from places like Mexico or California. And the sky's the limit as far as developing those opportunities. In the Pacific Northwest, there's a company named Norpak, and they not only produce locally grown products, but they produce organic products like soups, frozen vegetable blends, fruit sauce blends. So there's a lot of potential for us to grow in that area. And I'll also mention the importance of energy, and I support coal fire electric in Wisconsin. One of the outcomes of the federal government's policy against coal-fired electric is that we're seeing these huge power lines built through our region. And so I believe we can do coal in a way that's responsible.
Are there changes to the tax system that you would like to see? And will spending cuts play a role in helping to develop that tax policy? Bill Feehan.
Well, I do believe that our taxes are too high in Wisconsin. Last week, the Wisconsin Taxpayers Alliance published their study that shows Wisconsin is now ninth out of the 50 states in overall tax burden. And, of course, when we have high taxes, that's a dragging effect on economic development. And in particular, our property taxes in Wisconsin are especially high, much higher than the national average. And this is one of the most regressive forms of taxation. It was what prompted me to run for our county board. When I got an 18% increase in my taxes in 1 year, and then 2 years later, it was followed by a 20% increase. Going door to door and talking to people at that time, what I found were people that were on Social Security who hadn't had increases in 3 years. And so we're literally taxing people that have lived in their homes their whole lives and are retired out of their homes. So I think that the property tax is not a good way to raise taxes. I'd like to see a shift to a more consumption-based policy, one that relies more on sales tax. And perhaps one solution would be to offer local counties the option of going from the present 0.5% sales tax here in La Crosse County to a 2% sales tax. And if we did that, we could completely eliminate the county portion of your property tax bill, which on average in La Crosse County is about 20% of your bill. So I'm looking for ways to reduce property taxes, and I think that if we do that, we're going to see that there are a lot of positive effects that come with that. I'm sure many people know of people that have moved to Minnesota or left our state in retirement. We'd like to see those people stay here. And I would also say that we have very high income taxes in our state, and I'd like to see when there's an economic recovery, I'd like to see us lower our income taxes as well.
Senator Jennifer Schilling, taxes and spending cuts.
Right. Well, in the 2009-2011 budget, we faced a $6.6 billion budget deficit, and we took a balanced approach to ensure that everyone shared in the sacrifices. And we fought to ensure that we balanced the budget without raising taxes on families making more or making less than $250,000. We closed corporate loopholes to help create a balanced playing field. One of the reasons that I opposed the most recent budget was because it gave away $2.3 billion in corporations over the next 10 years while increasing taxes on working families and seniors. And examples of that was a $70 million tax increase on working families and seniors on the earned income tax credit and the homestead tax credit changes. There was $136 million increases in fees in the state budget, and there was over $410 million in raids that we saw from various state funds, including segregated funds like the Petroleum Inspection Fund. I believe everyone should be paying their fair share. I believe we need to have tax fairness in this state. Everybody needs to do their fair share to promote a balanced budget. I was also disappointed that in many of the cuts we saw in this last budget has shifted taxes onto local property owners and cutting funding for our local governments and tech colleges and school districts have forced many communities to go to referendums to maintain their services. We are seeing that here in La Crosse with the school referendum. We're seeing it with Western Technical College going forward with their own referendum, that we certainly need to look at tax fairness in this state, look at people paying their fair share, making sure that there's not this undue burden on those who can least afford it, being the people on fixed incomes, the disabled, and working families.
You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. Today, it's the 32nd State District Senate Candidate Forum. Democrat incumbent Jennifer Schilling of La Crosse and her challenger Republican Bill Feehan of La Crosse join us in our studios. Our next question actually comes from a resident in Viola.
I'm Tamara Dean. I'm from Viola, Wisconsin. And I'm concerned about the cookie-cutter legislation proposed by corporate groups like ALEC. And I want to know what the senator and the candidate would do to make sure that constituent concerns are considered foremost in proposing or deliberating legislation and that corporate concerns are not highly considered.
ALEC being the American Legislative Exchange Council. Senator Jennifer Schilling.
Sure. Well, in this last legislative session, we certainly have seen a greater footprint of ALEC in the legislation that is being introduced. And many of the Republican pieces of legislation that came forward was right out of the playbook of ALEC. And certainly, as we look at legislation, the special interests that matter to me are those people in the 32nd Senate District, that the voters, the residents of the 32nd Senate District, those are the folks that I turn to for ideas for legislation. That's the pulse I'm going to take when looking at bills that come before us and what the consequence is, what the impact is. But we are seeing, you know, more light is being shed on ALEC as more and more the public becomes aware of what this group is, that it's made up primarily of Republican legislators and of corporations and businesses. And many businesses have dropped their membership. They are very concerned about the tone and the tenor coming out of ALEC and kind of the heavy-handedness on some of the bills that we have seen coming through. And many of their bills we are ending up in court over, that it is one that is controversial, that legislators are even backing away here in Wisconsin from even identifying, saying that they were a member of ALEC or that they have their names on bills that are supported by ALEC. So I certainly think that there's been kind of a black eye about it, that people are getting smart. The electorate is tuning in and finding out about kind of who is behind the curtain of ALEC. But we need to make sure that when we introduce legislation here in the state and move forward with public policy, it is the best interest of Wisconsin. It is the best in the best interest for the citizens that call it home, and it is in the best interest for the businesses that are here that are located in Wisconsin.
And Bill Feehan.
Well, I'm not a member of ALEC, and I'm aware of what the organization does. So I guess my first comment is I don't think there's anything wrong with having input from businesses when we pass a legislation in our state. In fact, what I find interesting about the senator's comment is, you know, she says that she's only influenced by interests in our district, but in her first campaign finance report, less than half of the donations she raised came from in our district, and over 90% of our donations came from the 32nd Senate District. So I believe that we have to look at records, and what I can tell you is that the senator has had a consistent record of not voting for legislation favored by small business in Wisconsin. That's why I have the endorsement from the NFIB, the National Federation of Independent Business. She earned a 0% rating from this organization in 2008. She earned a 6% rating from the State Chamber of Commerce in 2010. And again, only a 17% rating from the NFIB last year. So the words don't match up with the actions. We need legislation in the state that's going to improve our state's competitiveness. And so those are my thoughts. As I mentioned to begin my remarks, I'm not a member of ALEC.
It was recently announced that K-12 school funding will drop for two-thirds of the state's districts. What are your thoughts on school funding for K-12 education? If you feel like funding should be increased, how do you propose to do so? Bill Feehan.
Well, I think that what we tried to do in the last in Act 10 was they tried to provide a tool for local governments to offset cuts to education. So that's why we did things like allowing for competitive bidding on health insurance for public employees in school districts. And there's been a demonstrated success with that. The Onalaska School District saved over $800,000. Westby saved $485,000. Prairie du Chien saved over $900,000. So in dealing with these budget cuts, you know, there's rarely a perfect solution. To say that we just cut education doesn't really capture it. And yes, education has to be a top priority for our state. And when we fix our economy and put people to work, lift them off of government safety net programs and make them taxpayers, that's how we're going to have the tax revenue to fund our priorities. So it's not always just about raising more revenue. The senator talked earlier about the need to do a better job in making sure people get the skills they need to work. And at present, we need to do a better job of connecting employers with high schools and our technical college system to take kids that are juniors and seniors in high school and get them a relationship with a local employer, and so that they know when they go to the technical college and, let's say, get that certification for welding, that they're going to have a job. So I think that there needs to be a better working relationship between the high schools, potential employers, and the technical college system. But absolutely, education is a priority. For too long, we've seen governors of both parties cutting funding to the UW system. And, hopefully when we get back to a place of prosperity, we'll be able to reverse that.
Senator Schilling, K-12 funding.
Well, certainly the funding formula is broken, and it's been broken for a while, and reform is needed. We need to invest in our local schools in order to provide students with a quality education opportunity, ensure that the workforce of the future is prepared and can compete in a global market. The Wisconsin cut to education in this last budget was the eighth deepest in the nation. It was deeper than 40 other states. And budgets are about priorities. And when we see that deep cut to our education, that will jeopardize, you know, turning around the economy. It'll jeopardize those students being prepared to move off into the workforce. We need to, as a state, recommit to that two-thirds commitment of funding for our schools. We have backed off of that, and we've backed off of it with governors of both parties. I think we need to get back to that two-thirds funding commitment. I can't tell my second grade son, sorry, Nate, you're not going to get this part of the curriculum. You're not going to get this this program, this class, because the economy is just too bad right now. That you'll have to come back in fourth grade when the economy turns around, and maybe your teacher will be able to teach you that. We need to address the issues of declining enrollment, of growing transportation costs, of aging school buildings, that the schools were really on that front line going back to the 90s of dealing with qualified economic offer, the revenue caps, that they have been cutting the fat long before we were talking about this because of our funding challenges. Governor Walker's cuts have forced schools to eliminate teachers and some of the extracurricular activities, and we have lost over 2,000 school staff positions. 73% of the school districts have lost teachers, and we are seeing larger class sizes right now, the highest numbers in 10 years. We certainly need to look at closing corporate loopholes, such as the Las Vegas loophole, so accounting tricks that businesses have that they can open a P.O. box in another state. And we need to grow the economy to get people back to work so that we have a larger tax base here in this state. But we certainly need to prioritize education in this state, and I will continue to stand up for strong local schools in this state.
We're approaching the end of the first half, so I'm going to give you each 1 minute for a rebuttal. Senator Jennifer Schilling.
Well, I guess my opponent had talked about, my record on some of these special interest groups and their report cards. And I just go back to the fact that the report card that matters to me, the special interests that matter to me, is that of the voters of the 32nd Senate District and the constituents here. And I will always stand tall and stand proud that I'm fighting for working families in this district. I am standing for seniors and children in this district. And those, that's the measure that I take about the public policy position and the votes that I take that matter to me. It's not some special interest group that he can reach back 4 or 5 years ago about that a scorecard and a report card. That every day I get up to fight and stand tall for those families that work here, that call the 32nd District home, and for those businesses that want to grow and operate and move here, and standing up for health care and education and those folks here that live here and want to come and spend their tourism dollars here in western Wisconsin as well.
Bill Feehan, rebuttal.
Well, I don't think the small businesses that employ most of the people in our state are special interests. I think they're people that go to work every day and work very hard. And when someone consistently votes against legislation that they say they need to grow their businesses and create jobs, I think that's a real problem. So, the senator talked about budgets being about priorities, and I don't think anybody disagrees that education is a top priority in our state. But to ignore the fact that we don't have adequate tax revenue and to just talk about making education a priority, I don't think is a solution. And she and her party failed to address these challenges, and that's why the Republican legislature and our governor had to do the things that they did. But their rating of the state transportation fund of $1.3 billion, of the state compensation fund of $200 million, and also their failure to pay their bills for tax reciprocity with Minnesota demonstrate that they're not serious about finding ways to help business.
We're talking with the candidates in Wisconsin's 32nd State Senate election. Incumbent Democratic State Senator Jennifer Schilling of La Crosse has held the position since last summer when she defeated former Republican Senator Dan Kopanky in a recall election. Her Republican challenger is former La Crosse County Board member Bill Feehan of La Crosse. The candidate who wins the November 6th election will have a 4-year term, serving people who live in Crawford, Vernon, and La Crosse counties and a portion of Monroe County. Coming up next, we'll continue our forum featuring the candidates for the 32nd State Senate district race. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCullum. To hear this or other recent editions of Newsmakers, visit our website at wpr.org/lacrosse.